Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, it's another great day on the Paula Price Show. The sun is just shining. How are you doing today, Dr. Price?
Now that I found the mute button, Ashley, I'm doing wonderfully.
Fantastic.
I tell you, you know, that mute button will get you every time.
Yeah, you know, it gets us.
But I'm doing great. I'm excited about what God is doing. And, Ashley, we just came out of, dare I say, annual Tulsa Prophetic Forum. And I don't know about you, but we had a great time.
Yes, we did. It was more than we could expect and everything we prayed for. And I'm excited. I got to meet some of my clients face-to-face for the first time, as well as a lot of returnees. Our room was packed. We had to get extra chairs. More people showed up. It was just exciting all the way around.
It was. And I tell you, what I thought was the most amazing thing was how the Lord moved. You know, God care of his prophets and his prophetic folks at this event. So, Ashley, what would you think? If you ever think about it, what would you say was the most impactful thing to you about the event this year?
Wow. Just
now, you can't choose 10 things. You can only choose one.
That's not even fair. goodness. I would definitely say some of your revelation, well, all of your revelation, but some of the things that you brought forth just make you pause and go, okay. One of the statements you made was prophets are known for defying hell and that hell has to honor the office and not the activity. I thought that was a very powerful statement that just makes you kind of go on pause and think, okay, we have to defy hell, which means you have to face it, and it comes after you. One of the many things that, you know, one of the reasons people are like, no, don't call me prophet. No. I don't want to be in the warfare piece. I just want to say some happy-go-lucky things and move on my merry little way. What you also discussed how gift is for the now, and the office is operating to protect the future. One of the hallmarks that you teach us to identify when you're trying to see if someone is a gifting or an office or where you are, you know, you might be in the gift stage and not the office. If you're just really thinking about the now, the word you have to give now, what God is doing now, and not necessarily preserving and protecting the future and thinking down the line, that's a way to identify who's in the gift stage, who's in the office stage, or who is transitioning. Oh, and then I tell you, when you talked about God will never destroy a land unless the leadership destroys it first. Oh, hallelujah. When we think about God's judgment, we always think he comes out of some random backhand out of eternity to just smack people, and not that leadership has a serious role to play, which the scripture shows us time and time again. When you read the prophecies, when you read Ezekiel and some of the other prophets, and God is stretching out his hand against the land, he always identifies the leadership as being the problem that opens the door for the people to sin against God. Scary notion when you are pushing to be a leader, when you think about how God judges leadership. We always want to talk about how he judges teachers and pastors and everything, and that's, of course, true. But leadership across the board and our guardianship role, the root word of ordain is order. Scary. You know, it's you being the wordsmith just makes you go on pause. Because you hear something like that, the root word of ordain is order, and you're like, Right. And people are pushing to be ordained all out of order. Not even
I like that. I want to jump on that thought for a minute. But you know, the average person who's saying I'm ordained has no idea that the reason they are ordained is to restore or to establish an order that has either been ignored, never existed, or has been distorted or disrupted. That is interesting that you zeroed in on that, because we did something powerful at this event. And you know what that was, Ashley? You know, first of all, before you answer, take a breath. You are just impressing me today. I did not know you got that much out of it. It's good to know, Ashley, that you were listening.
I was listening, Dr. Price, and I also knew you were going to ask me this question, so I pulled up my notes.
Listen, that mantle is working, isn't it?
It's like, Dr. Price is going to ask me what stood out the most, and I better be specific and not just a broad stroke. God just moved, and it was a really powerful time. That's not going to work on today's show.
Well, you are absolutely correct, and I have to tell you, I guess after all of the years that we have been together, you ought to have expected that and been prepared. So I do applaud you for being prepared. But what else did we do at this event? Come on now. Let's see if you can get it. Do I need the little music in the background or what?
Let's see. What else? Well, we had Prophet Jonathan Ferguson, who was outstanding. One thing that I love that is not in my notes, it is based on observation of what happened, is how all of these mantles came together and agreed. We don't have the, this prophet is unsaying what the other prophet did, this apostle is undoing what the other apostle did, and that you know, was not there. One other thing we did have was the debut of Before the Garden. Had an amazing banner standing up there, and got to have that cover done and have a sample printed out for the people taking pre-orders. So it was the debut. We rolled out the red carpet for Before the Garden.
We did. And you know what? I was surprised, Ashley, at how excited people were about the book being published. You know, sometimes you get a great idea and you hope that it's God and you hope it strikes. But Before the Garden appears to have struck a major nerve in those who have heard it. And so I'm looking forward to it because we're going to talk about it a lot in our shows to come. We're also going to have do our tour to introduce it in different places. I'm just excited about what God is doing and what he has done with that book. Even at this stage, we're still at the early stages of getting it, you know, to the public. Excuse me. So Before the Garden was awesome. And we also ordained another near prophet.
Oh, my goodness. We sure did. We did so much at this event.
It was full. And, you know, Ashley, with all we did, we still didn't keep people all night. We still didn't overtax their grace or their patience for what we were doing. And we had genuine, potent moves of God.
Yes, we did. Oh, my. We had, I mean, the praise and worship in the morning, the teachings, the prophecy, the prophetic, the personal prophetic ministry, the whole nine, his ordination, Dr. Ulf Spears, everything was just enough. And it was potent and powerful, and God moved in ways at this event that he's never moved in other ones. That's why I love the Tulsa Prophetic Forums and the Apostolic Summits, because God does his thing, and you work so hard at creating the environment for him to do what he wants to do and for us to achieve the goal and purpose for why people came.
And I tell you, they did. We met, had a lot of new friends. So while I have you here today, I want to say to everyone on the line today, who attended, thank you so much. And for those of you who were unable to attend, let me say thank you for praying, because your contribution in prayer was felt. God moved. He moved powerfully. People were blessed. We weep every time we have to say goodbye, because it becomes intimate after about the second day, and we hate leaving each other. So we had a powerful time. Thank you again. I pray for everybody who came that you take it home, you took it home, and that it stays aflame and ablaze in you all the while that you're waiting for our next event. And for those of you who are praying and pray and say, gee, I wish I was there, I want to say to you, I'm standing with you, that you make the next one, because I know that your lives will be changed. As a matter of fact, Ashley, we had an opportunity to put a few minutes of it on our show last Thursday. I bet you forgot
That's
we
right.
did that, too. We were busy. This was a busy event.
Yes, it was.
And we had a nice, listening audience for that. But something else is coming down the pipe. Before we bring in our prophet, Prophet Adia, we have something else that's happening. We are going to be in Fort Pierce, Florida. In 2 weeks, is it, Ashley? 2 weeks?
It is going to be July July, you're going to be teaching July 20, hold on, let me get it right here. You are Thursday, July 24th. And so you will be in Fort Pierce, Florida with Apostle Trevor Banks, Resurrection Life Family Worship Center for their 22nd anniversary celebration.
And it's powerful. And what's exciting about it is we get to do something unusual that Thursday because that morning, remember, Ashley, it is a Thursday. So what does that mean?
That means we're going to have the Paula Price Show.
Exactly. And we're going to do it on location at that conference event Thursday, July 24th in the morning. Instead of here, we're going to do it in Florida with our live audience and with you who call in. It's going to be exciting. You'll get a chance to hear Apostle Banks chat a little bit with me. We'll talk a little bit maybe with a couple of the guests who are a part of the conference. And I look forward to it, to see the Paula Price Show flavor travel around. So we'd already planned that I would be there, but when it was decided that I would speak on Thursday, you know, many of you know by now, I don't skip Thursdays unless I have no choice. I will not ever skip a Thursday because you all are that important to me, and I enjoy doing this. So instead of, you know, preempting our show, we decided to take the show with us on the road. So that is what we're doing. Mark your calendars. If you are in the Florida area, I will be in Fort Pierce, Florida, Thursday, July 24th, and come early in the day if you want to be a part of our audience for the Paula Price Show, because we're doing it live on location at that time. Actually, I think this is going to be powerful. I know Apostle Trevor is just thrilled. He's thrilled to pieces. He's excited. And so this is going to be great for all of us there. So I have to say that before we brought Prophet Adia on. I'm looking forward to hearing what she has to say. And I'm sure she's still bubbling from the event as well. Are you not my daughter?
I am. I am. It was such a powerful time. Good morning, Paula Price Show audience. I just have to say, you know, ditto to what has been said, what Prophet Ashley was sharing about the event. Dr. Price, you had talked about at one point, I believe this was Friday, when you were talking about God doing everything by his word and the importance of the fact that there aren't too many things that we can do without words, and the demand and the responsibility of for us as prophets because of what we carry to produce a product with our words. Part of the event was that manifest prophetics piece and helping us as prophets to move out of just a mode of being complacent with nothing coming to pass at our word and moving out of that. So a powerful, powerful time at the prophetic forum. I think one of my favorite quote that came out of that particular Friday that you talked about, God took a piece of eternity and bequeathed it to the world. And I thought, my God, today. So that's just a taste, you guys, of some of the things that happened at the prophetic forum and how just amazing it was. We love getting together with God's prophets. When they come to town, they shake some things up. So you all shook some things up in our city. And I want to almost reverberate what Dr. Price was saying just a moment ago about praying for you all that did not make it to be able to make it with us in 2015. Look, we're already planning for 2015. Tulsa Prophetic Forum 2015 is going to be amazing, and we want you to already be thinking about coming out and joining us. It's going to be that third week in June 2015, so more details to come about how you can pre-register for that. But we want to let you know how you can connect with Dr. Price. I always come on to let you know how you can stay in the loop, so let me take this opportunity to do that now. If you're not already following Dr. Price on Facebook, do that today. Don't delay. You want to go to facebook.com/Dr. Paula Price. Follow her page on there. She's been blogging already since the event, and some powerful things she's been releasing since we came off of the forum. You want to be a part of that. She connects with us every morning on Facebook and really shares the Lord's heart. You can connect with her there, facebook.com/Dr. Paula Price. You can also reach out to her on Twitter as well. I want to say hi to our Twitter fans out there. We love you, and we want to minister to you too. So you can connect with Dr. Price if you're more of a tweeter than you are a Facebooker. She's on twitter.com/Dr. Paula Price as well, and on LinkedIn. We're going to be posting all of the information about Dr. Price's new book. You heard her talk about Before the Garden. We're going to be posting all of the information on how you can get your pre-orders for Before the Garden on her social media pages. So stay tuned for facebook.com, twitter.com. You can also go to the website as well to let us know that you want to pre-order. If you want to be a part of those that pre-order, then you can text us right now at 918-602-2123. 918-602-2123. And you can let us know, I want to be a part of that Before the Garden pre-order group. Those who came to our prophetic forum, they were right there on site with us, and they got kind of first dibs on those pre-orders. But you can text us right now. And what we're going to do is we're going to send you the information on how you can pre-order her Before the Garden. But we're getting so excited about that release. We're going to be putting some excerpts out there for you to get a taste of the book and why you want to invest in this new title. But it's a powerful, powerful work. I was a part of the team that worked with this book and putting it together. And I can tell you now that it's unlike any other book that Dr. Price has done. You are going to be so thrilled by the revelation of the mystery, if you will, that come out in this particular title. We've always wanted to know what exactly was going on before the point of in the beginning, and this book takes you there and so much more. So there's going to be lots more information coming out. That's why you want to make sure that you become a follower on Facebook.com and also Twitter, so that you can get all the details of what's going on with Dr. Price's book. I want to let you know, too, that we are going to be doing a whole new event campaign, if you will, letting you know about the events that Dr. Price is doing from here. We've got a summit coming up in November the 20th through the 22nd, right back here in Tulsa. So if you were with us at the forum and you really enjoyed your experience, you want to come back and join us for the summit in November. That's a fivefold event that's happening the 20th through the 22nd back here in Tulsa. But Dr. Price is going to be all over the place before then. So we want to let you know, and the reason I bring that up is because I want to make sure that you're on our mailing list so that we can send you all the information about where Dr. Price is going to be next. We'll let you know how you can get involved in her date in July. She's going to be back in Chicago in August, and a few places in between. So you want to make sure that you're on our mailing list. I want you to take a moment now to visit us at drpaulaprice.com and click that link that says, add me, I want to be a part of your mailing list, so that we can make sure that we keep you in the know of where Dr. Price is going to be. I tell you what, in 2014, you're going to have to catch up with her because she's traveling so much. So join our mailing list, drpaulaprice.com, so that you can be in the loop on everything Dr. Paula Price related, and make sure that you don't miss a beat. DrPaulaPrice.com. Keep in touch with us because we want to reach out to you. Last but certainly not least, just want to give our shout out to all of our Facebook followers. You all, we love you on Facebook. You keep us going. I want you to write us pages. You can write on Dr. Price's page or write on the PPN Global page. We want to hear how you were impacted by Tulsa Prophetic Forum 2014. We want to be able to read some of your comments online and let people know your testimonies of how you were changed by the Tulsa Prophetic Forum so that we can share with others. Again, hit us up on Facebook, PPM Global Resources, or Dr. Price's page, Apostle Paula Price, and we want to hear feedback from you about your experience at the Tulsa Prophetic Forum 2014 so that we can share with everybody how you were changed by that event. If you're a texter, text us, 918-602-2123, and let us know this is how I was changed by the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. See you online. God bless.
Thank you, Prophet Adia Peterson, always keeping us live and in touch with what Dr. Price is doing. Dr. Price, what's next for you right now?
Well, I was thinking about the event, and one of the things that was a common thread throughout the event was that it's promotion time. I found myself, Ashley, every morning when I'm listening to the Lord regarding what I would post on Facebook, he keeps talking about, you know, or at least circling around the idea of promotion. God is shifting. Things are changing more rapidly than we know. We need to understand that by the time we see a shift in the natural, it has been at least 15, 20, maybe even as much as 50 years in the making, depending on how profound the shift is to be, how long it's to last, and the things that God wants to accomplish through it. So I say to you today, we're in a time where God is ready to staff those, or to staff, I'll say it better, to staff his shift, to put into position and power into service the people who are going to occupy the stations and the strata of his new shift. Things are shifting. When God shifts, promotions come with that. We don't often make that connection. Frequently we'll say, you know, shift is coming, change is coming, etc. And we genuinely think God is just going to relocate the old into the new. Well, sometimes he does. Most times he doesn't. And that is to make no kind of derogatory statement against what God has done. I am of the persuasion that just because God is ready to go to the next level, it does not mean that he's ready to eradicate everything that he's done. Otherwise, he'd be always starting at ground zero, and the Lord isn't doing that. So once something is able to stand on its feet and become the institution God needs to maintain and hold the fort and all of those kind of vanguard things we like to say, God is ready for the next level. Our God is progressive. God is always moving forward, always advancing, because he's headed toward a goal. Many of us are unaware of the power of God's prophecies and the word, the scriptures. There's a major reason. Come on, guys. There's a real reason why people want to do away with the word of God. There's a reason why they want to eliminate or discredit the scriptures, the Holy Bible. You don't hear anybody trying to discredit the Quran. Nobody's trying to tell us what's wrong, what isn't right, what's Allah, what's not Allah, what's real, what Muhammad said, what he didn't say. You don't hear a campaign against that. You never have. And I could postulate a lot of reasons why, but that's not what they do. Now, you don't hear anybody coming against the Brahmin scriptures or any other sacred text. As a matter of fact, they venerate every sacred text. They, even out of respect sake, they'll say, well, you know, I mean, we're not going to say anything against it, but or they'll just totally leave it alone, or they'll celebrate it as a positive alternative, not the Bible. That is what I want, and I'm going to be one of the few, and I hope you join me in that, in discerning that, but I'm going to be one of the few that keep saying that. But nobody is trying to get rid of the Quran. Nobody's trying to get rid of the Vedas. Nobody's trying to get rid of the Mormon Bible. Nobody's trying to get rid of a whole lot of these other texts out there, and as a matter of fact, working hard to validate them, and perhaps that's the campaign. And so, but the scriptures are important because they are how God brings his word to pass. In the beginning, God moved from in the beginning, God, to in the beginning was the word, because God does everything by his word. God prescribed, he pre-inscribed or prescribed everything that will happen on this planet between now and its end. And he is working out a plan. The superb thing about Before the Garden that you will appreciate as a reader, because many of you who are my weekly listeners, is that the Before the Garden tells you what God wrote before the garden, what God planned. But here's something you will love. This is one of the best things of the book. It will also tell you what God lived before the garden. Oftentimes, we as Christians, we as humans, and then Christians, and then the church, we treat God the way our children treat us. Oh, Mom, you had a life before me? You know, they see your high school picture. They see your graduation. They'll see you at a job, maybe in some sort of function. And it hits them, it clicks in them that your life did not begin with them. And that's what we do to the Lord. We treat God as if his life began with us. Now, I'm not sure if some of us think it began when he, you know, when the church was born on Pentecost. Okay, we have a few people that feel like that. Others feel that God's life began when Jesus incarnated. Others feel that God's life began when he founded Israel. going back, tracing back still. Others feel that God's life began when he covenanted with Abraham. And we can go on back to, you know, before Noah and the flood. But the scriptures are very uncannily put together. That's what I like about them. You know, people are trying to find this chronological thread that validates the scripture and, you know, with one thing reiterating another. But God was very strategic because he decreed that when you will find me when you seek me. And if you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with your whole heart. So God is not going to make it easy for you to find him. Why? Because God wants to develop you, nurture you, conform and transform you along the way. So while you're groping and searching for God and you're on this quest for the meaning of life and the significance of this and that, God is transforming you from a mortal to a potential candidate for his eternal work. So as you seek and you filter and this is this and that's that, God himself is proving that you were chosen to be his and to be with him since the foundation of the world. So that's important. You know, when people fight about the Bible, and some of you all, you get into these long harangues with people who hate God. I cannot understand why a Christian is going to get into a long debate to make somebody understand a God they don't like and a Bible they don't believe in. Now, I believe that we should preach the gospel, but I believe we should share salvation because God does not care about anything the unsaved wants to know about him except that he commands all men to be saved. That is God's priority. He's like, whether you understand why I wrote the law, whether you understand why I said all of that wraps around one thing, get saved, and then we can talk. Get saved, and then you can understand me. Get saved, and then I'll teach you. Get saved, and then I'll make myself known to you. That's God's mind. We want people to get to all of these deep discussions and et cetera. Why? It's not going to matter. Until Jesus said, unless a person is born again, they can't even see the kingdom of God. We're trying to give kingdom classes to people who have brick eyeglasses on, stone, just dull, can't see. And so I hear God saying to us today, I do everything by my word, but it begins with the word. We're born again by the word of God. God will end the planet by his word. And that is why the Bible is the one book everybody wants to stamp out, because they feel like if I stamp out the pages, I'll subvert the prophecy. But I want to go on record today to say that you don't get saved by a Bible. We did not need the Bible to get saved. There wasn't a Bible when we got saved. There wasn't. There was the apostles. There were the prophets and the prophetic writings of the Torah, of the Old Testament. But there was no Christian Bible. That's that the Bible didn't save us. Even those words didn't save us. What saved us and created the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, what created the way for eternal life was the word. What word? The word that God spoke and sent to earth, not by paper, by his spirit. Here is the secret weapon. The Holy Ghost is God's secret weapon. He is God's secret agent. There is nothing else that secures the Christian in the planet and secures the church on the planet outside the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is spirit, so you can't really hear and see him unless you're born again, which, of course, well, that's a whole other story. We just discussed that. So the Holy Spirit is God's secret agent, secret weapon, secret guardian of his truth. And it's the Holy Spirit who say what is and what is not. And guess what we don't know about? The average Christian, the average person can't tell you about the Holy Ghost. They can talk about God. They can talk about any other God. They can talk about Jesus. They can talk about Christians. They can talk about church. You realize that when you start trying to count Christians, you have to get into the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is how Christians are made. They're not made because they quote a prayer. We're not made because we have Bible, word, and print. All of that is to answer what happened to us invisibly, imperceptibly, eternally. So God took and he pulled strategic excerpts from his eternal record, and he compiled them together in the Bible. Now, they didn't start out in the Bible. They actually started out with leaders who were, you know, responsible for the church, saying, okay, Jesus, so what's this and what's that? And he began to give them his words and his thoughts on issues that pertain to his eternal church in this temporal world. And so the scriptures are excerpts of the entire archive of heaven. Heaven has an archive. Now, this was in the book before the garden. So you might want to read about that. So the scriptures are there. So when people start saying, well, you know, the Bible is contradictory. No, it's not. Not any more than the Bible is no more contradictory than today's news on CNN contradicts yesterday's and last month's and last year's news. Same thing. It's a report of what heaven does. And God gave us sound bites, and he gave us snippets and excerpts to let us know heaven's in charge. There is a plan. And we're walking according to a plan. Whether we like it or not, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. You know, we have listened to this whole kind of evangelical concept that God is, Jesus is crying, the angels are whining because people aren't getting saved and the world's in trouble. Are you kidding me? They are nowhere near that. They are working according to a master plan, which is why my book is called Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum. There is an eternal continuum that's marching us to the end of time, that's and picking up, scooping up whosoever will be saved along the way, planting them in the continuum to make sure that as that train moves down the track, you're in it and your destination will be eternal life in God's world. So when we think about the Bible, we think about God's word, we need to shift how we think because we've locked this thing down into the institutional church on the planet. And so everything pertaining to church history and everything that pertains to how we lived and how we did everything dictates in our minds, dictates how we treat God, how we teach God, and what we expect God to do. Heaven is not operating like that. Heaven is operating like God one day woke up. Listen, you're going to love this. This is great. Trust me, you're going to love this work. This is good. Heaven operates like this, so you can shift your mind. Heaven treats God as daddy who woke up and decided he wanted to have a new baby called Earth. That's how heaven thinks. Heaven does not think about Earth the way we do. Heaven, you know, the kid thinks they're the only thing in the world. They're the center of the family, center of the house. Life began when they were born, and life lives to revolve around them. That's how we are with Earth and God. We've got the exact same way. And so heaven, you know, God's world, all of that, those worlds that predate ours, they said, oops, Dad created a new kid. We got a new baby called Earth. Or we have a new solar system called the Milky Way or whatever we want to call ourselves. We can start with weather. But he ends up with a new world called Earth. Now, Earth is made by a world that's always existed. So how much are we really calling the shot? And that's the essence of the continuum. We don't call the shot, which is why we can't tell ourselves to stop aging. We can't tell ourselves to stop being sick. We can't do any of that. All of that is inscribed and prescribed in our creation, in our midst. So what God does is he said, okay, I got a new family called Earth. Hey, guys, how do we want it to run? Well, we want it to be similar to us, and we want to make it so that eventually those who leave that world will be converted and conformed to us and hence be compatible with our citizenship. That's where God is. He's not thinking like us. God does not think, you know, that we're not out of his orbit. We're out of our orbit. We're out of his orbit in the sense of we are not following him. God never let go of Earth. He never let go of humanity. He can't because everything that he created comes out of his very being. So we're walking around, and he'll let us make up all our little telltales like kids do. We make our little tales, you know. We tell our little stories. We do our little mix this and mix, you know, and anything mom and dad want, we hate, so we immediately rebel against it. All of that is classic. They're not caught by surprise. You can tell how much God wasn't caught by surprise. He built in old age, sickness, disease, and death, and nothing else tells you it's sovereign to you. Those four things do. And we could go around and talk about there are no absolutes. You talk about absolute, go to the funeral parlor. You cannot imagine. The funeral parlor is an absolute that absolutely happened. Go to the nursing home and all of those kinds of things. So Earth to God is his latest kid. Maybe it's his last kid. I'm not sure. But it's his latest kid. And he populated it with people that he expects to become converted to the model of his ideal human. and his ideal, eternal, immortal being, and that is his son, Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is all about. It is not just about what church you go to and whether or not you like the preacher or don't like the preacher or any of those kind of things. Salvation is about one thing, folks. Remember I said it. It's about one thing. It's getting the Spirit of God that's circling you as air and wind inside you as life. That's salvation. The whole new birth is about getting the third member of the Godhead, God's agent, God's weapon, God's guardian, God's provider, into your being so that it qualifies you to enter, inherit eternal life, and enter God's world. That's all. And some of us are going to enter immediately. Some of us are going to take a while to get there. But you and I, we who are leaders, need to know that. God is not sitting there crying, talking about, oh, my God, people are going to hell. God's not crying about that. That was part of the plan. What he's saying is that I'm letting you know you don't have to go. But understand, I will not bring anything into my country that is not compatible with my citizens. Now, you can talk all you want. I don't believe in heaven or hell. God's like, that's fine. Clearly, you've done my work for me. But we act like he's offended and he's torn down, and we as Christians are not sure this is real, so we get all beat up and carrying on because we don't think it's real. But I don't. I know it's real, and I know that God is very selective. He wants people who want to live. He doesn't want people who just want to exist. He wants people who want to live, who want to live his life, and who have the wisdom to know why his life is the way to life, why his life is the best way, and why humanity's is not. That's all. It's not deep. We made it deep. So you'll appreciate the book, what we put in the book, the things that I've taught. You'll appreciate it. And you'll understand that this is a master plan that's been in play long before there was an earth. You know, long before there was an earth. Because God didn't just get started when he said, you know, let there be light. That wasn't God getting started. That was God resuming. He took a hiatus. He dealt with the generation and the creatures that was on the planet before that. He dealt with all of that, took a rest, probably got a break from the crazy, you know, and he decided, okay, let's see, what's next on my agenda? Aha, revive and replenish. Good, okay, that's next. All right, team, let's get going. And he began to revive and replenish Earth. He clearly tells us Earth is replenished. He never once said that he replenished us. We have to read throughout all of those other excerpts that he dropped in his word, prophetically dropped in his word. We have to read between all of that, to read between the lines and say, oops, this is a redo. Okay, so this is a do-over. So God gave Earth, we're in the makeover version of God's handiwork, his creation. So he made us over again, and then he put a new species of life here. And this species of life is important to God, and you can tell how important to God it is by how blinded humanity is to its values. I mean, you look at our television shows, you look at the movies, everything is to wipe out mankind. Where is that hatred coming from? Where is that self-content coming from? It's got to come from somewhere. Where is it coming from? But in God's mind, this is his crowning achievement. And he said he made us according to the image and likeness of himself. That means everything else he made was not so much. But this, he made us in his image and likeness, with full of his potential, full of his view and his look. Now, it was a short-lived vision. Adam couldn't believe it all the way to the end. Hey, but God had a plan. And the plan is that we are not just offspring of Adam, but if we are the church, we are converted, regenerated. I like that word, regenerated into the image and likeness of God's Son. The reason folks hate Jesus is because Jesus is the archetype and the prototype. He's the ultimate model. Nobody wants to think that they're forced to be like a single being. We don't mind being like everybody else. We just don't want to be like a one body else. See, that's very different. See, because if we're all like everybody else, then nobody's better than the other. But if you have this single model, this single prototype, this single example that everybody is to conform to, oh, who wants that? Because that makes you, that for something about that demand, that mandate on humanity, makes you feel less of an individual, less of a person. And that fear of losing your life and fear of losing your identity and losing your selfhood takes over. And you're like, oh, no, I don't want that. So I would rather be like 6 billion people, not one excellent one. So we're all weak together. We're all feeble together. We're all frail together. None of us is perfect. No one is better than the other. That's a comfortable existence. Because we don't know God's world. So all we know is what we can see, touch, taste, and feel. And this feels great. This is comfortable. There's a lot of people like me. I don't want to be like somebody who's so superior over me, I'll never get there. It's easy for me to give in now and to resign myself to my mortality and to my demise now than to try and not make it. See, there's a whole lot of psychological reasons why people don't get saved. And it's not just because they don't like Jesus Christ. There's a whole lot of fear stuff going on in there. And that is what the gospel is all about. The gospel is to teach us. And step by step, as we learn more and more of it, eradicate those fears from our being, from our consciousness, our psyche, and to bring us into the superlativeness of the world that brought us into existence. You see, Jesus already has a population. We act like if the church doesn't get there, God's empty-handed. Oh, goodness, it's all gone. It's just them three up there with nobody up. No, no, no. They had a world. They got a world. And they had a world long before God brought us home. We're the latest kid, not the first kid. And so God would love to bring us into his world. He would love to share the superiority, the excellence, the supreme things that he has going on. But it's okay if we don't want it. And we need to stop telling people that he's not okay. He's okay with the people who don't want it. Because guess what? He doesn't want those problems there either, which is why he kicked them out. And before the garden will tell you, God kicked out his problems, and he sent them down to earth. Now, we don't like to think like that, but that's just where it is. And that's when you read your Bible, so that when you stop reading it to find out what two scriptures that didn't match and what numbers that didn't click and who that this one version said that, and that one said that, and you start reading it. I mean, we listen to errant, hard-out erroneous, sometimes deliberately erroneous news reports every single day, and you still run home and watch the news. We listen to false stories, hasty stories. We listen to contrived, edited truths every single day. We have an entire institution called the Fourth Estate, the news people, every day, and they air constantly, and they air as authorities. Literally, and you know what? We're not trying to get rid of them because, you know, the good they do is worth all of that other stuff. We just kind of push that aside and still trust them to bring in some sort of good for us. Trust, we try. We do that every day. Every day. You go to stores that promise you something is on sale. It's not on sale. You still go to the store. You go to car dealers. They tell you, come today. If you can push it in, you can drive one out. And you go there, you push it in, you can't drive anything out. And you know what? You still haven't given up on cars. So that all of those cons that we have bought into as Christians, those things to discredit God's truth and discredit God's word, it's only because we're the one. You see, we're the only one that they fight because we're the only one. And they know it and we don't. When Christians wake up and say, oh, my God, we are awesome. Oh, my God, we are powerful. Oh, my goodness. When we wake up and see what God really did through Jesus Christ, I promise you by the Holy Ghost, the world will change again. And that's what everyone's afraid of. So they want you to hate your Bible. They want you to hate reading your Bible. They want you to hate Christians. They want you to hate saying Jesus. That name still bothers folks. You can't even say it around a lot of people. Can you imagine that? You can't even say, you hit half of the stuff that they do to us, they wouldn't dream of doing anybody else. And every time they do it, I need you to stop feeling like a victim, and I need you to stop feeling like an underdog and start realizing, start counting it, another proof that we're the one, another proof that we're the it, another proof that we're the truth, another proof that we're the right one. And begin to start saying that and watch your courage and your confidence as a child of God step it up. And step it up big, because I tell you, a way too much energy is going into trying to discredit us for me to believe that I'm in the wrong faith. I'm sorry, you cannot convince me of that. Way too much energy. I'm talking about talk show folk. I'm talking about the minute people rise up in the world, first thing they want to do is stamp out the Christian. Why? Why are we a problem? Start thinking the way they're motivating. Because they're motivated by something. Begin to explore the motivations and not just their public statements. Because then those motivations is a confirmation that Jesus Christ is the only way, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that Jesus Christ begot a nation of people for his eternal world that will live and rule forever. That is a powerful statement, and we don't hear it. And we don't hear it because preachers started talking about your Christianity, about your headache, your backache, your house, your car, your kids, your hope, your dreams, your tears, your warfare, your devils. See, they made it all about that, but that is not what it's about. You need to find out what is it about Christianity that's terrifying the planet, because it's that that makes you supreme. And I mean supreme in Christ, not in your own, but makes you part of the supreme God. You become his child, makes you as superlative as he is by his spirit. And it's the Holy Ghost that does it. And I'm going to end on this fact. We can talk all day long, and I've been saying this for, I don't know, 30 years, I guess. We can talk all day long about what the fastest growing religion is. You can't count how big Christianity is. Because Christians are not Christians because we go to a church, we put our name on a roll. We're Christians because the Holy Ghost of God, the third member of the Godhead, steps inside us, slaughters our old spirit, implants a new one in less than a nanosecond, gives us a new life, writes our name on the rolls of heaven, and marks our souls as God's offspring. That you can't count. Who can find that? And sometimes God saves people in an instant, in one of their moment time. He steps in, saves them, Holy Ghost is on the inside, converting them secretly, mysteriously, before they even know it. And then one day they wake up and find out, I don't like this any longer. I'm sick of this. I'm bored with this. I don't know why. Why am I tired of this? Because God was on the inside all along, conforming us and converting us and transforming us into his way beneath our subconscious without our knowing it. That's Christianity. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus on the inside. So Jesus does not care about our little polls, our little registries. Half of them people mad with Christ talking about they're not a Christian anymore, like the Holy Ghost left. He didn't leave. You just turned. So I don't trust that. Trust me on this word. Believe me when I tell you. You cannot count how many children the Almighty has. He's got way too many kids that his Holy Spirit has birthed for him. Because you have to count what the Holy Spirit begot, not what church registries and public polls say. We are powerful, folks. I can do this. I can say this because I know it to be true. And when you purchase your copy of Before the Garden, you're going to have the same conviction. If you are a child of God, I promise you by the Spirit of the living God, who's a witness between us, your faith will change. Before the Garden will supercharge your faith. Supercharge. You will be a different kind of thing altogether. Why? Because when you find your identity, then your power in life, your power to live comes. You have no power to live without identity. And that's what Christ gives us. The identity of the world that begot this one and the identity of the world that rules this one and calls the shot in this one. Heaven is Earth's shot caller. I don't care what anybody tries to tell you, which is why we can't control Earth. Now, we might want to rename it other things, you know, because you get folks who want to say stuff like, well, you know, Mother Nature and this and that. I don't care. Trust me. All of that has nothing to do with any of it. God's world calls a shot on this one, and we are the remake of the last world he finished. So God has pulled this plan off before, and he's pulled it off before, and he's pulled it off before. This is not a test case. He's not role-playing, hoping he can get us all back there at the appropriate time. No, this is God extending it. He's just repeating it for another species, and we are his latest species, both the Adamic one that was cursed and the Christ one that's blessed forever. Hallelujah. Okay, Ashley, it's your turn.
Wow. First of all, let me say that's my first deep thought. Wow. I want to also say to our listeners, if you have a prayer request for Dr. Price, go ahead and push 1. There are some people online. There's also some openings. There are plenty of people on the line, but take advantage of this moment and get in to get your prayer request to Dr. Price. Now, back to what you were saying, Dr. Price. I love how you give us Christian pride. You know, we walk around and
Christians who are so large in number walk around with our head down so much. We're like the big kid in school that doesn't know he's big. And so everybody picks on him because he doesn't know he's big, and he can just smack them with one arm and knock everybody against the wall, and they'll leave him alone forever. And it's not until they either get hurt really bad or embarrassed or something like that that they just haul off and hit someone, and then everybody stands back, and then the kid realizes, wait, I've been big the whole time. And I feel that's where Christendom is right now. We are huge. We're the biggest kid on the playground, and we're the only ones who don't know it. And so through Before the Garden, your exhortation, I don't even think that's the right word. Your class, okay? Guys, you know, just feel like you were just in the Tulsa Prophetic Forum, because that's kind of what we were having going on there. This lesson that you just gave us about God is progressive and moving forward, and that salvation is about the Spirit of God who is getting on the inside of us. We don't get that, because we have made salvation to be about a personal experience with a personal Savior, our personal issues, and what God's going to do for us personally. And so because of that, we don't think globally, we don't think nationally, and we certainly don't think, as I Love You just said, that heaven is Earth's shot caller. They call the shots, which is why we can't control anything. Love that. And you have no power to live without identity. And that's where we are right now as a church. I think right now we're waking up and realizing we're not really sure, well, what does define us? Well, what do we believe? With the homosexual agenda being the bully that it is right now, punching everybody in the face who looks like they're going to say something against them, it really is provoking a lot of Christians to wake up and realize, wait a minute, what do I believe in again? Do I? What did God really say? Did he? Because it's so aggressive. The campaign against us is so aggressive that it is now causing us to shake it off a little bit and say, wait, what are we doing? Because now we're boxed into saying drinking is okay, and drinking like till you can't see straight, and then sleeping around, God understands that, and then taking drugs, well, he understands I need this thing over here. And so now homosexuality, now we're being pressured to say that too. Before we know it, what are we saying God represents, and why are we Christians? And so I love Before the Garden, because it's going to go, it goes all the way back, like Jeff said last, well, 2 weeks ago at this point, the history of eternity. What did God have in mind when he said, what did God really say, and why did he say it? See, we have a difficult time defending the why. Many Christians can run that Bible up and down as far as quoting it, but can't really tell you why, which is why we get into the argument about the Bible contradicting itself, because we didn't know why he said it in the first place, so we don't know why it's showing up in the second place or the third or the fifth. I'm excited. You know, those are my 10 thoughts on today, right there. And I'm going to stop right now.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate your 10 thoughts, and I want to hear some of our other people when they call in. I love hearing your thoughts out there. I know you think that we only just want to pray about your issues. Let's talk about I Like relationship with you all. We love that we have weekly listeners. You listen in every week. We love our callers. I love the new ones, and I love the old ones, because they're just as important. And you're right. The biggest issue that I started out saying was that we're in a time of promotion. But, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:33 that before the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. See, you can't fear God if you haven't been instructed in his wisdom. God makes no sense without his wisdom. You know, because God's wisdom is not based on our fall. It's based on his vision. See, God's wisdom is based on God's vision, because he's like, I live forever. Y'all 70, you out. Maybe by reading the strength, you'd be 70 and 10 more, 80. And, you know, because of the technology, he even admitted that in one of the prophets. He said, you know, there's coming a time when my spirit covers the earth that people are going to live, a baby's going to live to 100. So God, longevity is God's thing, because he lives forever. Here's the thing. God is not going to just change his eternal ways, and because in the mysteries and the secrets of eternity, he's not going to exchange them for all mortality, you know. But we're taught that we're taught that, oh no, God's got this covered. No, he doesn't. He's not going to do that, because he's not working it out. And so if we're going to be promoted to his world, we have to understand his wisdom. His wisdom instructs us into how to live forever, how to conquer death, how to conquer opposition, how to move our bodies from weakness to strength, from death to life. It teaches us how to live in a world that, for which death is not even a factor, to live in a world for which where sickness is not even a factor. You know, to live in a world where all of the kind of stuff that we're talking about, they don't have that. That's why, you know, they don't have that. There's no, okay, we're out. And whatever, you realize we don't have funeral parlors in heaven. God doesn't need funeral parlors. People aren't dying. We need them here. He doesn't need health insurance in heaven. Nobody gets sick. He got trees. You get sick, you go to a tree, get yourself a little something to it. Not a tree that's been messed on by animals and birds and bugs and whatever, but a real tree. So God doesn't have a lot of that. And much of what drives our world drives it because we are fighting off death. We're fending off sickness, age and disease, and we're fighting off death every day. And I would venture to say a good, maybe 60, probably some more, even larger than that, maybe 80% of what keeps Earth going does so based on the death mandate that came from God's world. Based on the sickness mandates, the corruption, all of that, we're trying to fight that every day. Half of the institutions that we're fighting for and the business and the enterprises that are making so much money, they won't make a dime in God's world because none of those issues exist. The things that they create have nothing to do with what we need to live. So we have to come to grips with the wisdom that God has. His wisdom is not just to keep us alive on this planet until he fulfills his purpose, because that's objective number one, but his second objective is to make sure that when we drop this mortal body that can't travel and we're traveling into his world, spirit and soul, that we're compatible, psychologically and spiritually compatible with his citizenship, with his ways of life. Just like we want people to be compatible with America before we say, hey, thou art a citizen, you know, at least in a perfect world. So anyway, I had a blast. The Bible said before, honor is humility. We are being humbled and pummeled in this world and sometimes even in our ventures because God expects to honor us greatly. And the greater the honor, the tougher the humility class and the humility process. But nonetheless, there is a hope, and for the saints. Now, you know, God says you must be born again to even see the kingdom of God. So you can't even know if there is a heaven or a hell without the Holy Spirit, a resident thereof, on the inside of you to say, oh, yeah, by the way, we're real. Oh, yeah, by the way, this is true. There is another one. Oh, yeah, your time here is temporal, but that's why I got you covered. You need the resident from the world that made this one to persuade you that this world is not the end-all, do-all, be-all, and that you don't just lay down and go to sleep and not know what's going on. So that's a whole bunch of stuff that we're going to talk about. So we'll just have conversations off and on, and I mean off and on, like this as we go into the future. Ashley, we're going to take a break. Now, listen, I want to talk to you guys, so put that number one, because I want to talk to you. You're important to me. And I want to pray for you. I don't just do this to share the word. I do this also to make myself accessible to you because of the potent prayer mantle the Lord has put on my life and the prayer answer or prayer response covenant that he made with me. So push that one while we're going to our break and to listen to our messages. I wanted to take a few minutes to tell you why you want to get this course. Yes, you want to know who you are. Yes, you want to know what God sent you to do. But it is not enough to know thyself. You need to know those that the Lord has assigned to work with you, to labor with you, to understand you, to hold up your hands, and to understand that they're not just volunteers helping out, but they are fixtures. They are affixed to your commission. They are your fixtures. They're your pillars, your founders, your ground. They're your communicators, your extenders, whatever you want to call them, and it's all of that. You need someone to fit all of those capacities. And so I want you to consider using my brand new teaching, building your commission team, stage one, if you're an apostle or an apostolic minister, because it's all the same. But what distinguishes what this teaching does is not that we're telling people about their ministry. No, we're taking people who are already in ministry or who are predisposed to ministry and who are competent or show potential for competency. And we're telling them, you're assigned to not just help me preach the word or help me spread the word. You're assigned to help me establish something in the earth, build it from the ground up, or fortify it if it's already in existence, and expand it. You want a commission team is about perpetuity, not just performance. And that is what commission training is. So may I encourage you to go to my website and to click, I want this commission team. You can go to ppmglobalresources.com and say, I didn't understand it. Now I know. And it's going to give you a blueprint. And then it's going to give you criteria. And it's going to give you standards. And it's going to give you protocols. But it's also going to give you some policies and procedures as well as practices. And all together, we come alongside you as you begin to identify those that God's called to help you do more than go on a mission. We want to help you identify those who are called to become fixtures of your apostleship commission, of your apostolic commission. Again, that's drpaulaprice.com or ppmglobalresources.com.
Would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence, ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your ministry assessment questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors, who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess, advise, apply, achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
That's right. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Your success is truly our passion here at PPM Global Resources and definitely on the Paula Price Show. Dr. Price, are you ready to get in it good?
I am. Do I have some callers? Because I'm ready to talk to the saints.
You do have some callers. First on the line, returning, is actually Jill from New Jersey, your neck of the woods. She is calling back today, Dr. Price. She appreciated your prayer the first time around, and she needs some new strategies. Right now, she is feeling extremely discouraged and needs some guidance. Jill, welcome back to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you. Hello, Dr. Paula Price.
Hello, Jill. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay today. I've been better, just feeling a little weak and discouraged, as Ashley said, but I'm here, so.
So now tell me this before we go any further, Jill, where are you in New Jersey? Where are you calling
from? I'm in Hillsboro, New Jersey. This is central
Hillsboro.
Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got that little way down the road kind of thing going on there. Now, do you have a church? Are you in a church right now?
Yes, I am.
And
I
is
am
your
in
concern
a church.
About, is it your church or is it a church that you attend?
Well, that's part of the issue. It's the church that I attend. And so I'm a wife. I'm a stay-at-home mom. And I'm just feeling like I need prayer for new strategies concerning the areas I just mentioned. And
so
that I feel God.
Need, mm-hmm. Okay,
go
so
ahead.
You want special guidance for your church. Are you a member of the church or are you married to the pastor? Where are you? Because I see the church thing weighing heavily on you, which is why I'm staying on that subject for a moment.
Okay. I am a member. I'm in leadership at the church, and I've been in leadership. It'll be 4 years in October. And it does weigh heavy on my heart.
Is your husband in leadership with you?
Yes, ma'am, he is.
Is he content?
He seems to be content. I believe, just through my observation, that he enjoys the fellowship that it provides. So that's what I'm picking up from him.
Okay, so now let me ask you this, Jill. You said you're a wife and you're a mother. So are you feeling that your leadership responsibilities in your church are clashing with your motherhood responsibilities and duties?
No, not at all. They're not
at all.
Clashing. No,
okay.
No. This has to do with the, you know, the direction and with the church.
Okay.
That's what's weighing heavy. Mm-hmm.
So here's where you are, because I don't want to answer the wrong thing. In your mind, the church is shifting from what you originally thought it was doing 4 years ago when you got into leadership. You've got some sort of insight either from God or from your leadership that what you joined that church for is getting ready to change. Is that what you're feeling?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay. And you feel that the direction may not be what God told you, or do you feel like the direction is away from the Lord as you understand it?
The latter.
Okay, so you feel like it's addressed. Is your church apostolic or prophetic, or is it a congregational church?
It's a Baptist church.
Okay. All right. So, and they're going in another direction. So here's the thing. Do you want to stay in the church for the sake of your family? Is staying there a possibility for you for the sake of stability, or do you feel like God is calling you out and you don't know how to present it to your family?
I feel like I need to stay for the sake of the family. And so I supplement, you know, doing other things, even in calling you and reading your books. This is, you know, quite different from what we learned there. So I do know how to supplement, and I've been doing that, but it's kind of getting to me now. It's really becoming hard to even just, but I know my husband's happy. He seems to be happy. The kids are okay. They're teenagers. So they seem to be okay.
Have you been able to tell your husband or even hint at the fact that you're discontent at this church? I mean, have you mentioned it to him in any way?
Yes, I have. I've mentioned it. And he can understand why I am, but just haven't made a move to do anything different. We're at different levels spiritually, and so I'm just trying to be patient. But I just feel worn out. I feel worn out on the church end. I feel worn out being a wife. I feel worn out being a mother. And my extended family, they're not the nicest people, so I feel worn out in that area. But yet, in all of these areas, I feel like God has called me to each of them. And so I don't want to leave. I don't want to give up. It's been many years. I've been married 16 years. I don't want to give up if he's not saying it's time to go. That's where I am, and so I feel like I just need new strategies to continue on in the work.
Okay, now when you say it's time to go, Jill, are you saying that you certainly don't mean your marriage, because it doesn't sound like you have any marital issues like that.
Yeah, it does. That's how I feel. I'm like, I'm ready to leave you. I'm ready to leave the kids, church, all y'all. I'm going to Paris. I'm leaving the country. I'm gone.
Well, you know, you no, baby, sweetheart, no, don't leave everybody and go to Paris. Okay, that may not be the best solution. You know?
Oh, Lord.
But here's what I will say to you. A couple of things are happening. You're at that place where you're growing, and the Holy Spirit has grown your spirit. Your spirit is now growing your soul, and your eyes are being opened in areas of wisdom that you never really had before. So that's number one. Number two, you just need a good vacation away from the family. Now, I know a lot of Christians don't teach that because, you know, we like to teach that Ken and Barbie nonsense where, you know, if you're tired, then he's tired, and if he's not tired, then you can't be. I don't teach that because that's irrational. You know, as a church, we teach a lot of irrational things that can't walk out in everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, the first thing I would say is that you need a good vacation. You might want to start with the weekend. You know, because
mm-hmm.
I don't know how your husband is on that, a weekend where you just go and seek the Lord and get refreshed. You just sound like you're run down to me. I don't know that you're necessarily tired with all of that, unless, of course, your husband is more difficult than I'm discerning.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this to you. If you are changing, I'm sure he is getting difficult because he recognizes your distance from him. He knows what's happening. Even though he can't articulate it, he recognizes
mm-hmm.
that you're being drawn away from him by something he cannot see, touch, taste, feel, or fight. So that is difficult. You know, that's a hard part for you. And I, and as you go forward in some of the things that we're going to talk about, you're going
mm-hmm.
to have to realize that even if he does not know it mentally, he cannot voice it, he feels it, you know, because God is that. That's God. When God starts enlarging us and he starts transforming us, you know, the people around you feel it. That's the first thing. So
mm-hmm.
you might need just a weekend to hear from God so that you can do that. Your husband may be reacting to in panic because this is his way of doing what men do, and that's holding on to what they feel is theirs. So
mm-hmm.
that could be the next thing you're feeling. So he's really kind of reacting in panic. He's a little tense. Your children are responding to your disgruntledness. They can sense
mm.
mom's not happy with us. We don't know why she's not happy with us. And if kids feel helpless and futile, when a child feels helpless and futile, particularly a teen, they become mischievous in retaliation. I can't fix it, so I'm just going to ignore it, and I'm just going to do what I want to do. And so, or they'll do it because they want to command you to attend to them. So you've got
mm-hmm.
that. So the first thing we're going to look at is you need a weekend at a good place. A place
okay.
where you can just seek God, talk to God. That's
okay.
the first thing. The second thing you're going to have to do is you're going in that place. God is going to talk to you about your family, your home life. That's important to you, and that, you know, I don't see God telling you to tear that up. I just don't. But there are some things that you're going to have to do. Number one, when you start growing in God as a wife, you're going to have to recognize that if you have a husband that's not going to keep pace with you, that's because God isn't telling him to. And you still have to learn how to do what you do with the regular job. You separate your home life and your married life from your God life. And
okay.
you create that place for your God life where God is dealing with you. Without alienating your whole household, so you know you got to keep doing the wife thing, the daughter, the mother thing. That's just the way it works, particularly when you have a young family. As far as your church goes, you and your husband may have to sit down and talk about that, because as long as you're in that church, it's exacerbating the issue. That's what's antagonizing you, and the fact that he can't see it is driving you up a wall. You're like, can't you hear that? Can't
mm-hmm.
you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you get it? It's clear to me. I mean,
mm-hmm.
come on, open up your eyes. And because of that, that's just another thorn in your flesh and another source of contention in your marriage. So you may need to talk about him continuing where he is as you pray, because we're going to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to pray, because I know
mm-hmm.
God wants to keep your family intact. I'm going to tell you that right now off the bat. I know
mm-hmm.
that. But sometimes, as you said, and I love how you phrased it, I'm needing strategies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know that there just new methods of might be needed right now as you are in this new place in God and
mm-hmm.
headed in an even greater place. So
mm-hmm.
you may need to talk about you getting your spiritual feeding elsewhere, or you staying home and letting him continue to go to church as he needs. Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, because I know how the saints are with me, because we like this bookend thing, and we like to do this as Christianity because we feel that God, somehow or another, because we're married, God has to bookend us in everything, and he doesn't. He doesn't. He didn't save us at the same time. There's a reason why God doesn't save couples at the same time, because he wants you to know. It's an individual thing, and his dealings with you are individual. You need to keep your home intact. You need to do what you need to do for your marriage to work where you are right now in that marriage. You don't want to alienate your husband and give him a reason to leave Christ, because it seems like that's a real severe thing right now. He's leaning
mm-hmm.
on your strength, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
he's leaning on you. You don't want to give him that reason, but you do, on the other hand, need to let him, let God bring him at his pace and encourage him in that. You want to encourage him in that. You know, one of the scriptures that Jesus always used with me, and I will use it with you today, that is, to whom much is required, too much is given, much is required. God is giving you much because he feels you can manage it. And so this is a great thing, and he obviously plans to use you. And, you know, God says he's going to be using you in about the next 5 years. So he's getting you accustomed to handling being who you must be with him spiritually, so that you can adapt to being who he's going to use you to be with him ministerially, without you, without you tearing up all of that with the teenage kids. And you don't want to do that. What you want to do is, if your husband wants to stay Baptist and to stay in that church, you want to encourage him.
Yeah.
Because in Christ, it beats out in the streets. Let him stay in Christ. Let's encourage him to stay in Christ. You want to pray with him, and you want to pray for him. Because he has no idea what's going on. He's in the closed blind side of Christianity. You know, I always say, you know, a lot of those churches, you know, they're in the house, but the blinds are closed, the shutters are tight. Mm-hmm. All they can see is what's in that little world. You, on the other hand, you stepped out on the balcony and found out, oh my God, look at all this stuff here. why aren't we looking at this? Why aren't we enjoying this? That's, you're on the balcony. He's in the shutter room. So God has shut him in because that's where he is right now. You don't want to disturb that. If you're going to continue to receive from God, Jill, let me just tell you this. You don't want to cut God off. And if it looks like you're going to misinterpret what he's doing and begin to use it to upset your world, then God's going to stop. He's going to stop your flow. And you don't want that to happen.
No, you're right.
So you want to learn how to manage it just like any person who does it. You know, just because you're having these great experiences, what we want to do is pray for you to get a friend, a partner, a confidant, somebody you can talk to and share all of these dynamics with. Because I remember those days. You've got all of this going on the inside. God is your dream. Life is off the roof. You know, you open up your Bible, it shouts at you. You feel like you brought it to full-scale drama, and then you turn around and you look at your world, and nobody is experiencing this but you. And you don't know what to do with it. So I'm going to pray for you. Next thing, I'm going to pray for you to have a friend so that you can have somebody to talk with and share with. I want to suggest at this point that you contact our offices and get one of these prophetic advisors. That could be a good sounding board for you.
Okay.
So you might want to do that because we have people here. That's one of the values of what we offer. Okay, so it's not happening in your church. It's not happening in your home. It's not happening in your world, but it can still happen here, and you can sound off with these advisors. These prophets are trained for that. Share your revelations, get some training, and also stay in the wisdom that will keep your home intact. So that's the next thing I would tell you to do, to get one of these advisors. When we're done, take an assessment, get an advisor. If you don't feel like you want to get that, but at least talk to somebody here. Set up these monthly talks with these people, with our advisors. They can help you navigate these waters. But I want to say this. Do not pound your husband to leave that church. Don't do that. Okay? Let him keep going, baby. And you know what? I don't know how long the church holds service, but I'm sure you can suck it up 2 hours a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And make it feel like a family.
That's what yes, I can do it. I've been doing it, but
I'm telling you, bro, you got to suck it up. And say, oh God, you know, you want to get yourself some Sammy, St. John's wort, some chamomile tea, something. God help me, you know, because you can suck it up 2 hours a week to make him in Christ. Because as difficult as it is, my beloved, the last thing you want is for him to think it's not worth it for him.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And, so, and you know, I believe that, and I've been doing that, and it just does, it wipes me out, but I can do it. And I love my church. I love the people. I love my pastor. I really do. I feel bad to even say anything, and I know that this is Jesus' bride. We all are, and I get it. But,
you don't have to do that for me. Because, see, we do that. That's how we do as Christians. You don't have to do that for me. This has nothing to do with love. You know,
okay,
there are a lot
it.
Of relationships that, that mm-hmm. break up and love, and love, and the love still holds on. This has nothing to do with love. This has to do with God doing something different with you.
Okay.
Got and it. God, is, you're dealing with what we call the sovereign intervention of God. You're becoming an object of God's providence and his sovereignty. And nobody can explain that. People try, and we all try to say, oh, I'm telling you, because I'm one of those, God has sovereignly tapped you and told you, okay, it's time for me to start getting you ready for what I want down the line.
Mm-hmm.
That's sovereignty, and nobody can do that. And trust me, God's going to do that whether your marriage works or doesn't work, whether your kids love you or hate you. It won't change. If God has tapped you sovereignly and you are – you're a chosen one, forget it. God's going to do it. I'm just trying to tell you how to keep it, how to keep those balls in the air for the time being.
Yes.
Because you need to keep them all in the air right now for the time being. But this here, understand, God's priority is his sovereign call on your life. And I'm trying to keep you from having to have him make a decision you don't want to make.
Yes, okay.
So I know of what I speak. So if you don't want God to take this decision out of your hands, we're going to just learn how to navigate it, negotiate it, keep the marriage intact, keep the kids happy, do your Friday night dates and your Saturday morning movies or whatever else you do. You can do that because to whom much is given, much is required.
Got it.
And so we're going to see that, and you're going to give your husband 2 hours a week in church, suck it up, pray for him. If that's what he wants, and we're going to get you a friend, we're going to pray for you to get a friend, and you're going to get an advisor so that your bubbling spirit, that effervescence that's overwhelming you, has a place to go.
Yeah.
That's all you need. You don't need any more than that. You just need what you need is a sovereign hand of God, buddy. Everybody needs one. When God puts a hand on you, my God. Because he won't stop. I mean, the Holy Ghost won't stop.
Mm-hmm.
He does not care. You have the biggest fight in the world. He don't care anyway how that was saying, you know, and he just goes on. So what you want to do is get an advisor. So I'm going to pray for that. My folks are on the phone right now. Prophet Ashley is one of our advisors. We have 5 to 6 more. So you can have, you know, find somebody that you want to sign up with. And when you do, you sign up, you get your once a month call in with your advisor. You're going to get you a coffee buddy, a prayer buddy or something. You're going to be fine.
Okay. I believe you.
I wouldn't kid you. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have to walk a tightrope. That's just the way it is. But again, it's who we are. It's what happens when you're handpicked of God. There are a lot of, you know, Jesus said, many are called, but few chosen. But when you're chosen, all choice is taken from you. You don't get options. And when you're chosen, you don't opt out. You don't get a chance to opt out. You got to do. God does not care. And I like it when people tell me this. You'll love this. I love it when people say to me, "Yeah, well, God called me 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I didn't answer. I thought, you know what I tell them? That he didn't call you. Because when God gets ready for you, you don't have an option. You don't opt out. You try to negotiate to get to him quickly so he doesn't mess up your life to get what he wants. So I'm saying to you, you're going to do well, my beloved. I'm going to pray for you. And when we're done, you're going to go on my website, drpaulaprice.com, and you're going to go and follow however way they tell you to take an assessment, get an advisement. I don't really know how they do it. My staff is that good that they just make it work, but you'll find something. And and if not, Ashley's going to give you some phone numbers and stuff when I'm done anyhow. But I tell you, I want to say to you, you are a prophet in the making. God is making you a messenger of the Lord of hosts. And as a messenger, he is getting you used to having to live two worlds at one time, walk dual tracks in this life.
Wow.
And you're going to have to get really good at it so that on the outside you are perfect hostess, perfect diplomat, perfect this and that, quote unquote. And on the inside, you are on the work table of the Holy Ghost. And that is who you are right now. And you're going to be there for 3 years. So you might as well buck up and get ready for it. You're going to be on the work table of the Holy Ghost and still be this great wife. You're going to be a good member of the church. And people are like, I don't know how he does it. And you're going to do it one day at a time by the grace of God.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Amen.
Chill out. I can't wait to meet you. You're going to be amazing. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful woman of God. I thank you for her husband and her family. I thank you for the work that you're doing in him, God. I thank you for bringing him into the knowledge of the truth, awakening him to her. Lord, it does not have to be either or, but by your grace, if you step in it, it can be all that you want it to be. Lord, awaken him. Speak to his heart. Speak to his soul. Let him hear her, literally hear her, not through his own understanding, but through hers. And I thank you for doing it. I thank you, Lord, that if it is time for them to leave their church, you will put them on the same page for it together. If that is your will, and if not, you'll give him peace with what you're doing with him and what you're doing with her. God, I know that. I've been with you long enough to know that we can't lock you into our model. Because if we do, that makes matters worse. So I'm asking you to do this according to your will. Give her children peace with her and give her peace with them. But most of all, God, I'm asking for you to give her a friend, a like-minded confidant partner, prayer partner, and friend that she can talk with who is sharing this experience, God, a friend with discretion, a friend with tact, a friend with wisdom and prudence, and one that will not intrude into her domestic world to the point of making things worse instead of better. So I thank you for that, and I bless you for her getting the right advisor to help her work through what you're doing with her spiritually, what you're doing with her soul, as she learns and she's strengthened to do what you want her to do in her flesh. God, I thank you for this woman. I thank you for the future prophet that you're making, the future messenger of the Lord of hosts. I thank you for it, but I'm asking you to give her patience right now. She needs patience, and she needs grace, and she needs a revival, a quickening of her spirit by your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen
Amen. Thank you very much, Dr. Price.
You're very welcome. God bless you. Hey, listen, keep in touch. I want to hear from you.
Okay, I will.
God bless.
Okay, have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Whew. Prophet.
Don't go to Paris, okay? Just vacation. Like you said, take that vacation.
No. Don't go to Paris. You don't want to go to Paris. All right, Ashley, I think you need to tell them about our office number if they want to call and our website.
Absolutely. If you want to reach out and connect with us, you can dial 877-419-1299. Again, that's 877-419-1299. Or go to www.drpaulaprice.com. If you go to Dr. Price's website, it will connect you to the other websites and things that Dr. Price has going on as far as PPM Global Resources and taking the assessment, finding out more information about our events, and connecting with her travel and itinerant ministry and anything else that's going on. You will find at drpaulaprice.com, ordering products, downloading audios, and whatever the case may be. So again, our number is 877-419-1299, and that website is www.drpaulaprice.com. That's drpaulaprice.com.
Amen. All right, I need another caller.
Well, I have one for you, Dr. Price. We have on the line James. James is returning to the show. I actually remember this young man telling me his story. You gave him counsel some months back on not leaving his job, and he has an update for you about that, and then also has prayer for needing direction. James, welcome back to the Paula Price Show.
Yes, I'm here. Hello, Dr. Paula Price.
Hi, James. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Good. Well, I understand you have an update for me, so I'm excited about hearing it.
Yes, actually, back in October, I believe, I spoke to you on the show, and you told me situation concerning my job. You told me not to leave it, to hold tight, go back, and if you can deal with the ridicule and the different statements that's going to be made, then you'll be fine. Things worked out. I was reinstated. I was led to get an attorney, get a law firm to handle the situation, and they're still working things out. Although the contract was not renewed with the company, I'm still waiting for something to break or breakthrough concerning the situation.
Wow.
So at this point, I'm just looking for needing clarity and direction and see if there will be an impasse with regards to a financial breakthrough that I'm sensing, but I just wanted to be sure.
Now, wait a minute. Now, you said that you were, what about a financial breakthrough?
I'm sensing that there's going to possibly be a settlement, and I'm seeing something in the nature of maybe six figures.
Well, I think that if I'm remembering correctly, you probably should have a settlement, you know?
Correct.
That's what I'm wondering. But so now, are you looking, because the contract wasn't renewed, James, are you looking for another job?
Yes, I am. I was doing that for about 20 years, and I was really trying to figure out, Lord, what are you doing? Which direction are you taking me in? That's something that I, you know, love. I'm anointed to do what I was doing. And I know God shifts without permission, and I'm just trying to figure out which direction am I heading in or to get myself prepared for.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. You're going to need another job. You do know that, right?
Correct.
Okay. So you need to get geared up, get your resume geared up, start even now checking in with some what do you call them, with some employment or personnel agencies so that you can do it. God is ready for you to grow. Even though you've done something for 20 years, I hear God saying, but I'm pushing you out for growth because he wants you to get out of a rut. He wants you, you know, you're a guy of comfort. I like comfort. You like your life orderly and predictable. You know, that's just what you feel. And that's okay. But when God wants to use you, he has to ruffle our feathers a little bit and to make us a little bit uncomfortable so that he can start talking to us in a way that's unfamiliar to our present lifestyle. And so God is, and I would venture to say, you've not been paying attention, but God has been talking differently to you. And I don't think you've registered it because you don't know where to put it in your mind. So we're going to pray for you to hear God outside of what you are comfortable with and what you're accustomed to so that the next step is going to be handled. I see in the spirit your hand, and I see God taking you by your right hand and leading you out and into another way of life. And so, you know, you don't like change. Most of us don't, but some of us just don't handle it well at all. And, you know, some of us handle it a little better than others. But the Holy Spirit said, be willing to let me guide you by the hand. And you're going to take baby steps. You're not going to like it because you don't like the unknown. But trust me, God says, I've got you in the palm of my hand. You will not miss out on this deal. It may look crazy, but you will not. God says, I'm going to bring you out in a broad place. And he's going to bring you out in a place that's larger, more diverse, and better for you, just so that the reason you are on the planet will not be missed. And sometimes when we're in long-standing careers, we can miss the reason because of our loyalty and sense of duty. We can miss the reason God put us on the planet. And you're coming up on a time where God doesn't want you to miss that reason.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm talking to you about?
Absolutely, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you have to be open to God leading you in a way that you would not ordinarily go on your own. As a matter of fact, you're a person God has to get swept away with circumstances to get you into the next place. That's part of the ruffling of the feathers here. So just start, you know, put some feelers out. See what else is going on. And is there a place in your area? Now, where are you calling me from, James?
From North Carolina.
North Carolina. Okay. Is there a place in your area where you can go and have, like, vocational retraining or, you know, something like that?
I'm working right now. I'm presently working right now because I saw the contract not being renewed, so I already hit that up, and I'm working now again.
Okay. So, you're working at the same company, right?
No, at another company.
At another company. So, okay, because you might want to look at doing is seeing what kind of retraining God wants you to take. I just see you in a retraining program, some sort of vocational program. Now, I'm not sure if you're a student or if you're kind of teaching it. That it almost looks like a little bit of both, maybe because it's an apprenticeship. But I do see you in a retraining program.
Okay.
And something else. So, if you don't know about it yet, that means it's coming down the pipe. But be open. The biggest thing God wants you to do is be open.
Mm-hmm.
Be open.
Okay.
And be open with what he wants to do. Because nothing about your life over the next several months is going to make obvious sense. That's why I saw him taking you by your hand. Whenever God wants to take us by a hand, it's because we are everything, the way he's taking us, not going to make obvious sense. It's going to be like, okay, people are going to think, what are you doing? What is wrong with you? But God says, I have you by your hand. Feel that. Rest in that. Because if he's got you by the hand, you're going to do okay.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let me pray with you. Father, thank you for James. Lord, thank you for taking him in tow, taking him by the hand so that he doesn't miss destiny. God, thank you for taking him by the hand and holding him so that he will fulfill the role that you have paid for him long before he was born. I thank you for divine connections. I thank you for increased favor. I bless you, God, for settling this particular case for him in his favor, giving him his reward, giving him the compensation that he should have. I thank you for doing it, and God, for doing it quickly. I refuse to let you drag it out, devil. You will lose this thing. It's going to settle in the favor of the child of God, and do so quickly, Lord, with the amount that you know is righteous. And the amount that you know he deserves. And then I thank you, Lord, that you have wisdom to use those funds for your glory and for his own prudent decisions on his life in the future. I thank you for opening up the path of training, opening up the path of education and development, and then opening up the career path that you have in your mind for him. And I thank you. Do it right now and do it today, God, to do it today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, James, I know you're going to keep me posted, so amen.
I sure will. I sure will.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Prophet?
All right. That was good, getting the update and moving forward. Next we have on the line Andrea from Kansas. And she is on the line because she needs direction, Dr. Price. Andrea, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello. Thank you.
Hi, Andrea. Have we talked before?
Hi. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. Hi, Dr. Price.
Hi. How are you? Well, good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Now, they tell me you're in Kansas and you need direction. So, Andrea, tell me, what is on your heart?
Oh, my heart, the matters of the heart. I am just trying to make the proper decisions regarding relationships, school, work. This is a number of things. And so just trying to find the peace and then to be stable in the decision, not to backtrack, not to go backwards in what God has told me to do. And so and not just being fearful, you know, of the decisions and understanding that, you know, there'll be peace at the end of the decision, graduating that school of disappointment. And so I think that's where I am today, just having some peace in the decisions that I make.
Did you make decisions already or are you making them?
I think I'm in the middle of making decisions.
Okay. Angela, are you a counselor?
No. Well, yeah, my job is that I'm a financial aid counselor at a university.
So you're going to mess with me and make me think I don't know what I'm talking about, right?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Oh, help us, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you are a counselor by divine design. You may think that you're doing something that you're incompatible with, and that mm-hmm. That was your idea. You are not. They did not put you in that position as a fluke. You are where you ought to be. You are a counselor. Now, you might want to take more classes to become another type of counselor, but you are mm-hmm. a counselor.
Yes, ma'am.
So I don't know if that decision has been made, but that's one you need to make.
Yes, ma'am. That is there.
Okay. Huh?
That is there. That is there. Yes, ma'am. It is.
Okay. Do not leave your job. Nope.
Yes.
Don't do that. Okay?
Yes,
stay
ma'am.
In your job and take some classes. Okay? You're growing up. Your job has become too easy for you. You can do it with your eyes closed and your hands tied behind your back, and so you're bored.
Yes.
And boredom is no reason to be reckless.
True.
Okay? You got bills to pay. You got obligations and duties, and you cannot just blow them off, because where you are in this season of your life, you won't recoup some of the things that you're risking. So don't risk things just on your momentary boredom. That is not what God wants you to do. Next mm-hmm. thing, so you want to take some classes, and you're going to become a counselor. Now, I don't know where you are, but if I had to pick an area, which probably is one you hate, but God said you're predisposed to being an effective substance abuse counselor. I don't know why he tells you that, but you will figure that out. But you
okay.
can do that, okay? Or families, because you have both of those in your makeup that you can do either of, either or. You can do the substance abuse counseling, which would put you in a good program, and you would be, you know, probably, you know, be able to start a nice program, but you are not going to jump the gun. But you can do that or work with someone else in the program, like in some sort of assistant or directorship or something to help somebody else build it, or you can
right.
do family, because you have either one at work for you. So, but you want to finish the training. God says finish the training. Get your education, get your degree, and then get the certifications. For you, do not give the enemy a place by not getting the proper certifications.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so that's that. Now, you said, now what else about school? Are you in school now?
Yes, ma'am. I'm working on my master's right now in education. It's organizational leadership.
Well, maybe that's why I started directorship, because you certainly have that going on. You can do that. But you are a counselor, and I know that you might not see it, but God is going to show you. Here's what I learned about the Lord. Oftentimes when we tell God we don't like something and we don't want to do something anymore, it's because we're only looking at one side of it or one little piece of it. Thank
mm-hmm.
God for today's world, because today's
yeah.
world, every field has so many little miniature nuances that you can get into areas of specialization and expertise that before when somebody said, I don't want to teach, that meant you didn't want to teach in school. You don't want to deal with bratty
mm-hmm.
kids and fussy high schoolers. But now you can teach in 1,000 different places and still teach. Still fulfill your destiny in a teaching. So understand your mandate on your life will fulfill itself. You get that degree. Don't stop. Get your degree. But trust me, I'm telling you, I see some sort of counseling facility and a directorship in there for you.
Yes, ma'am. I would say that.
Mm-hmm. You have to, because I'm right. I know I'm right on this one. I'm clear. I've seen the office. I see the facility. I see the desk. I see you. I see you in a cute little suit. I see it.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I'm there on that. Now, you said relationship. Do I need to pursue that? What's up with that?
I had a friend, been around for a long time, and they recently relocated. A relationship that was around for about 7 years, almost 10 years, honestly. But there were a lot of things that occurred in that relationship that were not godly. A lot of soul ties, just a lot of things that I think sometimes we allow people to become a crutch. And then when that crutch is no longer there, you know, I've gotten to a place where I can make a solid decision without going to ask this person what they think. And I think it was vice versa. And so now that cord has been cut, it's making a decision to keep the cord cut because of what was spoken, you know, prior to the relationship even flourishing. And so I think sometimes we move ahead of God, and when you move ahead of God, you do things to think that it will bring something into fruition, and it doesn't occur like that. And so because it didn't occur, there is a lot of hurt, anger, resentment, and just the, like you said, you're being a counselor. And because you have been that for so long, it's like they have a dependency factor on you as well. And so I just want to be able to go peacefully in our separate ways without any animosity. And I know it's a process, but it's just getting over that hump in that process.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, you made a statement that I think is quite interesting. I'd like to revisit it. You
mm-hmm.
said that it's because of things that were said in the beginning before the relationship. So am I to understand then that you received prophecies?
Yes, ma'am.
And the prophecies were about you two should be together in the marriage and all of that stuff? Is that what happened?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and so then you two decided to make that happen, and in 10 years y'all couldn't pull it off?
I don't think it was more so on their part. I think it was more so on the situation that I was in before I relocated to Wichita, Kansas. Before I came here, I lost a lot of things. I lost my home, my car, you know, my job. And so I wasn't in a mental place to handle where I was. And so I felt like at the time against, you know, what God had told me to do was to stay, and I left. And when I left, I came to a place without nothing and stayed with this individual for a matter of time. And, you know, truthfully, just to be transparent, they call it shacking, live together for about a period of almost 6 years. And so you take on the responsibility of being a wife and you're not a wife. You take on the responsibility of being a husband and you're not a husband, but you're not in a committed relationship.
So when you relocated to Kansas, that's when you left this relationship, is that right?
I came to the relationship when I came to Kansas.
Okay, so you moved to Kansas to be in this relationship.
It wasn't the intention, but that is what happened. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I got it. Hey, but you know what? The setup for shacking is always the same. Somebody is living into an artificial crisis, and the artificial crisis has only one solution, and that is living with somebody that you've been dating. That is like the classic. I mean, it can't get more than that, you know? I don't care what it is. Especially when that seduction, that spirit of seduction is serious, he will manipulate circumstances so that one party will be in dire straits so that the only thing that the other party can do is rescue them. And once that rescue happens, next thing you know, we go from rescue to residence to pretend to be, you know, the fake marriage and all of that. Now, I want to say this because now, are you all in the same city or the same area or what?
Oh, no. No, ma'am. He is he's relocated.
Okay, so he's relocated. I'm going someplace with this question. That's why I asked you. Because if he's relocated, you've already come to the decision that this doesn't work. And I want to say this. You know, when you said something about the prophecy, let me tell you something. People shipwreck God's prophecies all the time. And you know it as well as I do. They do it all the time because we have no control and no restraint in our soul. That lack of soul control will make us shipwreck God's prophecy. I want to go on record and say the word was fulfilled. You did live with this man. Y'all live in a mock marriage. The word was fulfilled. Right. It just was fulfilled pervertedly, so it didn't get the harvest of God's righteousness.
Yes, ma'am.
And so, but I want to add this to you. If he's gone and you all have stopped talking, you say the soul tie is broken, then I don't understand the problem other than you're grieving over the loss of a long-standing relationship.
And that's what it is. I think more so being mad at yourself for what you've done. Because it's not like you don't know God. It's not that you don't know the way, but it's the resentment that you have at yourself. Not at the person, but just, you know, yourself for making the decision. And I don't want to walk in regret, but it's just the resentment that I have and the anger that I have about it.
You have an anger about it for a couple of reasons. Number one, A, I knew better. And why didn't I do better? I can't tell you. But I want to tell you something. Remember, I said to you, a shacking spirit comes with a seducing spirit first. That seducing spirit manipulates situations so that one party has to be rescued by the other. That is a vintage strategy of seduction. That is vintage. Yes, it doesn't get any better than that. I lost my job. I got put out. My house has termites. Whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, it's all the same story. Different script, same story. So the minute you got into relationship with this person was not meant to be a genuine spouse because the relationship never turned toward God. It never turned toward the godly. It turned away from. That means he was sent in your life to derail you. And he did it. You know, I mean, come on. I haven't, you know, there are people in your life that the enemy will send a fleece to make sure that the real never comes.
You're right.
And so you were fleeced. However way that happened, and you're frustrated because you're a smart lady. You are very smart. It sounds like to me that you're very spiritually astute, and it also sounds to me that God spoke to you throughout all of those years of this relationship, and you could not understand why you couldn't pull out of it.
Yes.
And so God sent him away because at some point you had one lucid moment, one moment where your thought was not entwined with his, and you say, God, please help me, because if you don't, I can't help myself. And he stepped up and he did it. Now you have to work out your disappointment because you're not just angry with yourself. You feel bad because God's eyes are on you and you're feeling it, and he's making you feel uncomfortable. So here's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. Just go on, do your repentance. Tell him, you know, just like you were honest with us, do your repentance, accept it. God, I did it. Just help me to move on.
Yeah.
And then as far as looking back has never done anybody any good except trip you. So don't look back, you know. Take your wisdom, because I'm telling you, that spirit is coming back to you again. Within the next 2 years, you're going to find yourself facing that same spirit if you don't deal with it now.
Yes, ma'am.
Because you have to ask yourself, here's what I want you to do, and I'm saying this to you because of the experience that I've had in counseling so many people like this. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit down, and instead of going through all of the anger and the resentment and all that, you can't fix that. You can't unscramble an egg. It is what it is. You got an omelet. Let's fix it up. Make it a good meal. Here's
yes,
what
ma'am.
You want to do. You want to sit down, and you want to say, now, God, take me back to before I fell. Because I want to know the psychological mindset I was in. I want to know the emotional state I was in. I want to know what calamity I was facing or disappointment that I was facing that forced me to go another way. I want you to put yourself through that process as part of your healing and purging, but also as part of you putting up guardrails against this happening to you again in the future.
Yes.
And I want you to sit down, you and Jesus, and he will do it because he's a faithful God and he's a faithful creator. I want you to sit down, I want you to get a pad, and I want you to ask him to take your memory right, bypass the 6 years, bypass all of that, go all the way back to before the first date you had with this person, because
mm-hmm.
it's that state of mind that set you up.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Now, when you get that, I want you to write it out because that's what you're going to repent of. Everything else is just a chain reaction. We need to
right.
get that you back to that point so that you can repent of that. When you repent of that, then the Lord will deliver your soul. Because then he'll know you know what you did, you're aware of what the problem was, and you know how you got there.
Yes, ma'am.
Does that make sense to you, Andrea?
Yes, ma'am, it does.
Okay, so I want you to do that. Now, it's going to take you a little bit because you're going to cry a little bit. You know how you go, because you know when God gets to cleaning and cutting the carrying on, it's not pretty.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you, he's going to tell you up, baby. And then, but when you get to that one point, that's when your heart breaks over what you did, not what you're suffering, but over what you did to him. When that heartbreak happens, then you're delivered. You're never delivered until your heart breaks for what happened to God as a result of what you did. And so right now your heart is breaking over what you did. So that's your regret. That's regret.
Right.
Repentance is when your heart breaks over what he suffered as a result of it. And true repentance is what brings deliverance. It's at that point, and you'll tell me, because you're going to call and tell me, because you and I, we done become friends, girl. So you're going to call and tell me, and we're going to celebrate the Lord setting your soul free.
Yes, ma'am. Amen.
So let me pray for you. Did I help you out at all?
Oh, yes, you did. Yes, you did. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, then let me pray for you so you're not going to quit your job. You're going to get some schooling.
Yes,
and you're
ma'am.
Not having any. And listen, stop calling and having taking calls from this relationship. Cut off ties. Cut.
Yes, ma'am.
Stop talking. Stop talking because that's that spirit that's trying to recreate that bond.
Yeah.
You're
right.
Know?
Yeah.
So, you're sitting there. That thing is like, that spirit is lonely. It's like, oh, my gosh. I mean, how did I get kicked out? God took that devil by surprise. You got to stop talking. Stop taking those calls. Change your number if you must. Change your email. But you've got to stop. If you're really sorry, then you'll stop talking to this person. Not because you're punishing them, but because you're proving to God you know what you did and you're done with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
And you're going to stop there crying at night talking about how you don't know what you're going to do and you're lonely. Give that up. Stop that. That's all that spirit that got you in this. That's why I'm telling you to go back to the day before you dated this person.
Yes, ma'am.
Because that's the day that you're going to get delivered. So you're going to call me and talk, I mean it, don't, and you know what? I'm really good. See, you don't put this on my heart, so I'm going to chase you down in the spirit. Don't you take another call.
Yes, ma'am.
Send them flowers back, send them cards back, because that is not this man. He thinks it's him. It is not him.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay? Father, thank you in Jesus' name for who you are. Thank you for Andrea, the things that you're doing. Set her soul free, Father God. Walk her through healing, deliverance, and repentance and penitence as only you can do it. And I thank you for right now I rise up in my position and I cut this cord. I command this wire and this trip wire to be separated and severed in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I thank you for washing her and him with your blood, cleansing both of them for their purpose, and God, taking charge of their lives as a savior, as a sovereign savior should do and will do when they yield. I thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name, let it be. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. I thank you for your time today.
All right. And listen, you check in because you know you got somebody who cares about you.
Yes, ma'am. I sure will.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Prophet, we have only 5 minutes left.
Yes, because you had to dig deep today.
I know. Wasn't it wonderful? I had 3 wonderful calls from 3 wonderful saints of the Most High God, and I covered New Jersey, North Carolina, and Kansas, which is a little closer to home for me. So I am excited about that. Where do we go from here, Paul? I done good, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's always good to hear from my producer, so I know that I can, you know, keep on coming back next week. Well, we want to again. Mine or yours?
Yours, for sure.
Well, I appreciate it. Listen, don't forget, check me out on Facebook, check me out on Twitter and LinkedIn. Please, by all means, go to my website and check in. Let me know what you think about the show. We do read your comments and your testimony. Tell it. This is what I liked about the show. Either do it at my website, post it on Twitter, or put it in on Facebook. Either way you choose it, listen, I want to hear from you. I'm telling you I do. Now, I know some of you all like to write me those long Sermon on the Mount. See if you can kind of condense it a little bit, since there's more than one of you. But I want to hear from you. Know that we're praying for you. In my Facebook, you can also post prayer requests. My team still prays. We still offer up prayers for whoever needs them. So make sure you do that. And don't forget, Blog Talk, you can go back and listen to today's show and all of our previous shows again and again. Ashley's going to tell you how to do it. Until next week, God bless you. Be powerful. We'll talk soon.
That's right. Thank you for tuning in this week. Thank you, Dr. Price, for another powerful show here on the Paula Price Show. If you want to listen to these radio shows, they are all available 24/7. If you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, or you can just do it the easy way if you don't want to remember that, and go to Dr. Price's website. Right there on the homepage is a place for you to access the website right from her link. So if you don't remember, go to drpaulaprice.com and then click on the link that will take you to Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to last week's show. You can listen to last year's shows and cycle through them. I can't tell you how many people let us know every week. I just hit play and let one show play after another. If you have a favorite, listen to it time and time and over again. So your experience with Dr. Price does not have to be limited to these 2 hours once a week. Tune in next time. We love you, and God bless you.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.
Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price, host of the Paula Price Show. reminding you to revisit last week's program at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.